Welcome to Civil Defense Radio with your host, Preston Schleinkofer. Today on the show, we have David Womack, the producer of the Black Sky event that is in production right now, and the trailer is up on his website, and we'll hear more about that later. But David, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me, Preston.
It's our pleasure, really. I'm sure our listeners will get a big kick out of this interview here, and especially the soundtrack that we got coming up. So can you give us just a brief overview of how you came about making this movie that you're working on? And, you know, what was your personal story on that?
Sure. Well, like a lot of people that are knowledgeable about this outside the preparedness area, I, in 2007, read 1 Second After, the book by Dr. Forsham, and realized that, there was a threat to our way of life out there. And basically, I had two small kids, and over the years, just kind of, prepared myself and started following what was going on in Washington and other places about what people were doing about this. And followed it for years and finally got up to 2017 when they disbanded the EMP Commission, and listening to Dr. Pry and Ambassador Henry Cooper, people who've given their lives kind of to, bringing this situation up to the American people and trying to get something done in Congress, they call for, people to take grassroots action because nothing was happening at the federal government level. So basically, I got interested, and I've been in the film business for about 30 years, and decided to make a documentary and see if I could interview some of these people who know everything about the electromagnetic spectrum and the grid, and find out how we could help. So that's how I got into it.
Wow. It's kind of like many people's story. It sounds like you run across a bit of information that changes your world perspective and your sense of security, and you start digging in. That's kind of how I got started.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of people have just gotten into it that way. I mean, it's a lot of people I talked to, like I said, over the years, most of them, a good percentage, read Dr. Forsham's book, but then other people read other fiction and got interested in it, and then started preparing themselves or trying to figure out how they could help prepare a country if an event like the grid going down actually happened. So
yeah, that's when I first read 1 Second After, I posted my thoughts on Facebook, and I had a lot of my friends comment saying, yeah, I read that 2 years ago. It's like, man, I'm behind the power curve on this. So, we're going to be talking about the movie that you're producing, and you've got a trailer on your website. So can you list your website and give us a little intro to that before we break to go to that trailer?
Sure. So when we started this journey, I've been working on this, for about a year and a half now. And first of all, we spent about 6 months doing research because we wanted to just basically dive into the project and make sure we had our facts correct and everything. And then find out who the foremost experts were around that could tell us about the grid and the threats to the grid, because it's an extremely complicated issue, and it's hard to digest it all in a short film, which is what we're trying to do. We're trying to do just a feature-length film, which is, basically 90 to 120 minutes, and we've actually considered doing it in a series because we have so much great information now. But basically, the trailer that you're going to listen to, that you can go to theblacksskyevent.com, and you can actually see the trailer. And you can also, if you'd like to sign up, we can send you information about release dates and stuff like that. but you can see the trailer there. And this first trailer was actually a pre-production trailer, which means that we'd shot some B-roll and everything, but we hadn't shot our interviews yet. And so we basically took like congressional testimony and stuff like that and cut together the trailer for kind of a proof of concept thing, proof of concept film to get our interviews and to show people, you know, what we wanted to create. And that's what you're going to look at there. We're in the process of creating a new trailer because now we've done over 30 interviews with experts, most of the people that are on the trailer that you'll hear. And now we have like 600 pages of transcripts to turn into a documentary and interview footage. So, but this will give you a taste of you know, of what the documentary will be like once we finish it.
All right. Well, let's go to that video right now. You guys will be hearing it on audio, but you can go to it and watch it yourselves at theblacksskyevent.com. So here we go.
Are we winning or losing?
Sir, this is a battle that is going to be going on for many years. We're still trying to get our arms around it. This is not
something. Repeat my question. Are we winning or losing?
One of these three things will happen. There will be a cyber attack, a Carrington event, a nuclear EMP. And all three of them have essentially the same effect. They bring down the grid.
You cannot sustain the population of a 21st century superpower without electricity. And unfortunately, every bad guy on the planet knows that.
Nuclear EMP is in the military plans of Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran for combined armed cyber warfare.
North Korea could hit the U.S. with an apocalyptic EMP attack.
I think the next big surprise that's going to face us is Iran.
EMP are one of many threats the electric sector must confront. A cyber attack aimed at disrupting electric service would be relatively cheaper and easier weapon to deploy.
The private sector is on the front lines of this battle, and very few companies went into business thinking they had to defend themselves against foreign militaries.
We're not only going to be dealing with nation states, but we're going to be dealing with groups, with individuals, when we're dealing with a capability that is relatively inexpensive and so easy to acquire. That makes this really problematic.
We know Mother Nature is going to do an EMP laydown in due course.
You might have heard word of a solar flare headed our way. A big enough flare hitting Earth at the wrong spot could cripple power grids and communications.
These things happen roughly every 100 years. Well, we're about 160 years overdue. It's coming, folks.
Congress should look at EMP attacks, cyber warfare, and nuclear weapons as three great threats to our survival. We have to be able to defeat all three of those threats.
We're going in exactly the wrong direction. When the EMP Commission has already spent 17 years studying the threat, has repeatedly told Congress this is a real threat, and we know how to protect against it.
There are a lot of people doing a lot of good things at a relatively leisurely pace and trying to be reasonable. Work back from consequence, you rapidly become unreasonable because the consequences are so horrible.
I gave up on trying to get institutions here in Washington to deal with this issue. I think we're living through the most dangerous period of my lifetime.
This is vastly bigger. 9/11.
The day before it happened would have been regarded as highly unlikely.
You're talking about a catastrophic event.
It takes civilization back to the 1800s.
Our citizens are not prepared in this country
for the low to no notice big events.
If you're expecting FEMA to do it, that's not a sound plan.
If there will be no electricity for the next year, what will you do?
That video was You know, the soundtrack is just amazing. The music score that you have behind that, when I first listened to it, just grabbed me. And it has such impact. I was speechless when I first saw that. And even though I knew the information that you know, the experts were talking about in the congressional testimonies, but just the impact that your score had on that was amazing.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it's all what we're trying to do is bring this situation to the awareness of the general public, because there are a lot of people like you who have you know, in-depth knowledge of it. I mean, we interviewed you for the documentary, so, and you were great, by the way. But you know, everybody else in the general public, when I talk to my friends about this, they just kind of glaze over. They don't, again, it's such a complex issue. They don't understand the electromagnetic spectrum, what works in the electromagnetic spectrum, and why, as we depend more and more on technology, why we're in more danger and we're more vulnerable to attack or to effects from the sun. And they could all take down the grid. So what we're trying to do is take all this great information that we got, all these great interviews, and make it into a film that you would want to watch, that's informative, and I wouldn't say entertaining. I guess it is entertaining, but it's real informative and takes a highly complex issue and pares it down so that you can understand it.
Yeah, and I think you will accomplish your mission in that, because I know many of the people that you interviewed. Matter of fact, I was waiting in line, so to speak, behind some of them at the InfraGuard conference in D.C. last December in 2018. And so I know some of the people that you interviewed. And you know, they're more of an expert than I. But it was an honor and a pleasure to be interviewed for this movie. Now, I get a lot of people that say, why do you worry about EMP? Why do you worry about these solar flares taking out the grid? You know, that stuff isn't going to happen. You know, it's just conspiracy theory, or it's you know, you're trying to hype things up. It's not going to happen. You know, if it was, the government would be telling us that you know, we'd have to worry about it. Well, actually, the government is starting to tell us about it, aren't they?
They sure are. Yeah, even from the time, this has been quite a journey. And when I started, we actually filmed our first interviews in August 2018. And even so, it's almost been a year. And even from then to now, it's really changed. You know, the government, through several avenues now, are trying to make us aware that this is a real problem, and to convince the American public that this is a real problem you need to pay attention to. Because, I mean, you know, in March, of course, President Trump issued an executive order on the EMP and how the government should, the federal government, should get prepared for EMP. And really, it's just at the starting phases of that, because they're basically just trying to figure out who is in charge of what and who would take care of what. Because we've been dealing with this for 20 years and all the way through the EMP commission, everything. They gave recommendations as to what should be done to protect for electromagnetic pulse from a nuclear weapon and from a Carrington level event solar storm from the sun. Just for two, and cyber attack and physical attack. I mean, you have so many ways that the electrical grid could be affected and possibly taken down totally. And the effects of that would be catastrophic, because without power, you don't have a society. I mean, it would take our civilization back to the 1800s, because we rely on the electric grid for everything. I mean, everything we do is traced back to electricity. All of our other infrastructure, everything. So our food supply, our water supply, you name it. If you turn off the power, we lose it. And so what the government's done, in the past year even. I attended a summit in, the first summit was actually in Washington, D.C. at Air Force University. And they had put together an electromagnetic task force, electromagnetic defense task force. And it was run by General Quast, and he is a three-star general with the Air Force. And they're so concerned about this that now they've brought together experts from across all industries, the power industry, top scientists, people who have protected military assets from the effects of EMP for years and know what they're doing, to try to bring everybody together to come up with solutions to this vulnerability. So they are pushing that forward, and then we just had another, they had the second task force event 2 weeks ago. And since President Trump's executive order, I actually got to interview General Quast and Major Stuckenberg, who wrote the report from the first meeting. And I highly recommend that everybody look that up, this electromagnetic defense task force. And it's it was a really sobering paper about the effects of the electromagnetic spectrum and how that is now, just like land, sea, and air, become a domain for warfare for our enemies. So the government is moving forward, and they've also realized that in the last year, FEMA and the other agencies have at least upped the preparedness level recommendations that they have, from like 10 days of food and water and supplies, they upped it to 10 days from 72 hours. So they're moving along a little bit. That's not nearly enough to get people prepared, but at least they're moving. So the government in general has realized that this is a huge problem, and at least is pushing forward. They've got a long way to go.
Yeah. Well, they're still behind the West Coast, all three of the states on the West Coast, because of the earthquake threat. They've got a 14-day minimum that they're working on. So at least they're looking at 10 days, which is better than the three. You know, they said that, well, everybody's got about 3 days worth of stuff in their pantry. Well, why did they use that as a minimum then? I mean, it doesn't make sense. If you already have that much, then why should that be a minimum? Then you should expand it. You know, so if 10 days is what they're calling for, well, that's 10 days. For me, I say get 14 days and then start working on 30. Once you get 30, go for 6 months. Because if there's any major problem with the grid or anything, because we've got multiple threats to the grid. If there's anything that happens to the grid, then you're going to be high and dry for a long, long time. There's a variety of things that need to be done, but that's for, you know, another show. You know, your show highlights a number of threats in the trailer. You talk about cyber, you talk about EMP, you talk about coronal mass ejection, or CME, that we just had a couple CMEs hit the Earth just a few days ago, but they were minor ones. They just caused the aurora to be seen in, you know, the northern tier state or states, and so it was fairly minor. But it could have been like the one in 2012 that missed us by a week. That one was a Carrington-level event. That was doomsday that missed us by a week.
Yeah.
So is this possible?
Absolutely.
Heck yes, it's possible. We could be blacked out anytime. And there's a couple spots on the sun that as it rotates around, because we've got satellites that watch these things, there's a couple spots that are the major culprits. And as they were coming around, various people who are reporting on these things are reporting about what's coming up. So, you know, luckily these two little flares were minor, but it could have been a lot worse. And think about it. If You didn't have anything in your pantry. You didn't have any other supplies or anything stored up or prepared. If you weren't prepared, you'd be stuck with no food, no water, no way of moving around. Your vehicle may have worked, but it probably wouldn't work very long without gas, because once it goes dry, then there's no pumps to get more gas. And then roadblocks from all the cars that stall out and block the roadways. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that escalate from that. There's a lot of cause and effect. The cause is the event. The effect is all the stuff that happens after that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we interviewed Bill Murtaugh, who is the director of the Space Weather Center, the NOAA Space Weather Center. It's in Colorado, in Boulder City. And we went and we were lucky enough to get an interview him and film in the Space Weather Center, where they monitor the sun 24 hours a day. And that was very interesting. I mean, he really opened my eyes to a lot of stuff, and how closely they monitor the sun and how, you know, seriously they take it. I mean, I don't think a lot of people realize that, similar to President Trump's executive order that was issued in March, President Obama in 2000, I believe it was 13, issued an executive order that was similar for a solar mass ejection or a solar mm-hmm. event. And it's only been in the last couple of years. I mean, it's taken years and years to get anything through any standards to the people who regulate the electric grid to actually protect the grid from that and do anything about it. And unfortunately, by the time it got all the way through, the standards were set so low that in reality, even after all of that, we don't have protection for the electric grid from a solar storm. I mean, it's not even mandated for the power companies to put it on until, I believe, 2026. And even when they put it on, they have taken the standards of what the level of protection. There was a storm in Quebec, a major solar storm in Quebec a few years ago, but it wasn't a Carrington level event. It was just it was an event that took out their power uh-huh. grid for 2 or 3 days. But they took that level of that storm as their standard instead of a 100-year storm like the Carrington event, which was, you know, 4 or 5 times more right. powerful. And so their standard just does not, even when the changes to the grid and the protections are put on the grid and implemented, if we have a storm, even like the one that just missed us in 2012, you know, we're in trouble because the standards they have developed just won't protect us. So even when you get something like that done, and even when it goes through the system, when it comes out the other end, you know, of the federal regulators, you're dealing with a private industry that owns the electrical grid. And that's why it's so complicated, because the electric grid is owned by 3,000 different entities. You know, it's the most complex machine that man has ever created.
And it wasn't organized from the beginning. It's a patchwork quilt.
Right. It's a patchwork quilt, and it's all, you know, it's like a spider web. I mean, it's amazing how vulnerable it is. And the sun's only one thing it's vulnerable from. There are a lot of, you know, we have nuclear EMP, we have cyber to worry about, you have physical attacks to worry about. And unfortunately, when you talk to the power industry about this, and this is something that, you know, I've learned, we also interviewed Jim Robb, who's the president and CEO of NERC, who is in charge of implementing and writing all of the standards for the power industry.
Now, NERC is what?
And,
NERC is what?
Go ahead.
What does NERC stand for?
Oh, the North American Reliability Corporation.
Okay.
Electric Reliability Corporation. And they're in charge of the making standards for the bulk power system.
So they're like a lobbying arm for the power industry.
Well, they're not really a lobbying arm. They are, but they're set up to be an organization that develops standards for the power industry, and then they pass them up to FERC, which is the Federal Electric Reliability Corporation, and they approve the standards or disapprove of the standards put forth by NERC. So they have to approve everything, but it's really a lot of people in the interviews, and I had people with opinions that go both ways, but a lot of people feel like they're self-regulated, you know, and that of course Jim Robb, who's the president of NERC, you know, said we are to a certain percent. NERC is made up of 85%. Their voting members are 85% electrical utilities. So.
What's the other 15?
The other 15 are just, you know, organizations outside the electric utilities. I have
just
no
ancillary
idea who they are.
Organizations or companies that maybe manufacture equipment for the electrical industry or something.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, exactly. People like that who are interested in doing business with the electric industry, probably. So when they make those regulations, I mean, and you know. In their defense, I mean, they have a tough job. I mean, you know, protecting the electric grid is not a simple matter. I mean, it's so complex and there are so many working parts, and you've got to protecting it from an electromagnetic pulse or a solar storm is totally different than protecting it from cyber. And unfortunately, right now with cyber attacks, you know, those are much more frequent. So they have now kind of categorized EMP and GMD as low probability.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of their key words. It's a low probability. But, you know, eventually if you take all of these probabilities and stack them up and take them out of their individual silos, you get a pretty good probability that over the next few years, especially as we rely more and more on technology and everything is more integrated and all that, relies on the power grid, you know, we're even more vulnerable because unfortunately things they're building now like 5G and microgrids and future technology, they're not protecting it from these threats either. They're not building it in to the baseline to be protected. So a lot of these technologies make us even more vulnerable.
And that so seems, it seems counterintuitive that a business would keep themselves in the Stone Age when everything else is moving fast towards the future. And I mean, I know it's a dollars and cents thing with them, but it is crazy that they would leave us so vulnerable in this nation. I mean, 360 million people in America, and the power grid industry is working hard to not comply with the threats that we face, serious threats that we face, because we've got enemies out there, we've got competitors who you know, even North Korea, they were threatening us for some time, and Iran is threatening us. They've got capabilities because they were funding some of the stuff that North Korea was doing. So they've got the same technology, and they're just waiting to spring their surprise on everybody. But they've threatened us, and you know, you mentioned physical attack. I wouldn't be surprised that there are operatives here from those potential adversaries already. You know, their mission is to take out our grid. You know, if I was the strategic planner for a rogue country or even terrorist organization, that's what I would do. I would plan to hit us with cyber, and at the same time, I would have the physical attacks on the various grid components. And if I had the capability, I'd throw out some scuds with nukes on them. Or, like North Korea does, they have two satellites that orbit the world and they cross over the United States twice a day. So they may or may not be nuclear capable. Where, you know, no, there's no open source reporting on whether they are or they're not. So that's always a possibility.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we interviewed a gentleman from Red Hat Security who has a team, who has teams. He's out of Minnesota, but these teams go out and the power utilities hire them to break into their facilities and break into their cyber networks. And it was really interesting what he had to say as to how, you know, so many of these companies that are certainly up to NERC standards don't pass muster when his teams challenge them, you know.
That's not surprising.
And it was, that was enlightening because it brings it down to a real level. I mean, you can, we also had Tom Popick from the Foundation for Resilient Societies, and he's really a brilliant guy.
Yes.
And he just speaks on a policy level, though, and he talks about all of the policy tricks and things that they do that when they make these standards, they make them so low, basically. Now, in their defense, again, they're making up standards for the whole country, and it's such a patchwork of things, it's hard to make specific standards for everybody. But unfortunately, they seem to, you know, not want to move forward with a lot of the things that need to be done, or are incapable of doing it because they're afraid that if you put new technology on the grid, that it will just make more problems, things that they could put on to protect from EMP or a solar storm, that it will affect the grid in a negative way because it is so patchwork and it's very fragile.
Yeah.
And vulnerable. So, and it works well. I mean, they do a great job providing power for us, you know, relatively inexpensively and consistent. You flip your switch and it comes on. And that's amazing, you know, that we have power. But now our society relies so much on it that, you know, you've got to think, well, is it time to pull this into something that's a little more regulated, because if it goes out, you know, we're all finished if it goes out for a long period of time.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. We're going to have to stop now, but you'll be able to catch part two with David Womack next week. We just had too much fun talking, and so we're going to have to make this a two-parter. So next week will be part two with David Womack of the Black Sky Event movie. You know, the top-down governmental approach to solve our community resiliency problem has failed us. We need a community-based grassroots approach to solve this problem of resiliency. We are looking for volunteers throughout the nation to pick up the mantle of civil defense for their communities. Let's start a conversation with the guide found on our resources page of our website at civildefenseradio.com. Be sure to check out our postings on Facebook and Twitter and the information that we have on the threats at Civil Defense Radio. Our Facebook page is Civil Defense Radio, and our Twitter is @civil_def_radio. And like I said, we post a lot of information there. That's where we keep you up to date on everything that is going on that we see as threats to our safety and security of our nation, our communities, our neighborhoods, and our families. Be sure to keep track of that. To our listeners, I just want to say thank you for listening. We really appreciate you being there this week. And again, thank you, David, for such a great time. And we will catch him again next week. So please be safe, be informed, be prepared, and may God bless you and keep you until next time. Thank you.